I appreciate the privilege of being here very much. And I have a question I'd like for everyone here to consider tonight, and that is, where is your hope? You think about people in the world, they have their hope in a lot of places. For some folks, it's the economy. It may be an insurance policy. It may be bank accounts, real estate holdings. It may be the career path that they have chosen. There are people that have their hope in a political candidate. If just we can get this man in, then somehow things are going to be better. There are folks that actually have their hope in ball teams. If my team wins, life is going to be good. There are people that have a hope in having their body frozen so that when medical science somehow develops a way to revive bodies, they can live again. And I don't know how much they pay to have their bodies frozen in the hope that somehow they can get a hold of eternal life. There are people that place their hopes in romantic relationships, like the woman that met Jesus at the well. She had her hope in one man, and her hope was in the next man, and the next man. Where is your hope tonight? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 7. Proverbs 11:7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. If the hope of unjust men perisheth, why do people live in sin? You know why they live in sin? It's because they have a hope it's going to get better sometime. If I can just get a little bit more pleasure, if I can just accumulate a little bit more wealth, things are going to be better. Someday, I'm going to be happy. It's because of hope that people stay in sin. Yet we keep finding that sin does not satisfy. Just one more party. Just one more drink. Just one more $1 million. And people are chasing and chasing after these things because their hope is there. But the Scripture says that when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Sin is like chasing a rainbow. There's a legend that at the end of the rainbow there is a pot of gold. If you try to go to the end of the rainbow, you know what happens? The end of the rainbow is moving just as quickly as you're going toward it. Because it is the refraction of light and it is dependent on angles. So as you're moving, thinking, oh, I'm going to get that pot of gold. I want to see where this beautiful rainbow hits the earth. And you can go and go and those angles just go along with you. And you can never get there. You know that's the way sin is. People are pursuing and trying for that pot of gold, and they never get there. Sin is like a mirage. You know what a mirage is? That person that's in the desert and short of water and so thirsty, and they look off on the horizon and, oh, look at that big lake of water. If I could just have enough strength to get there, I can satisfy this deep thirst that I have. This deep thirst, it's going to kill me. I've got to get there. And did you know mirages are angular dependent as well? They're just illusions. It's a reflection of light that is actually the sky off in the distance. So as they're moving toward the mirage keeps staying out at the horizon. That's the way sin is. People have their hope. Oh, I'm going to get something. Something's going to satisfy me. Just one more drink, just one more high, and then I will be satisfied. But that mirage just keeps moving out to the horizon. In fact, the song says, I've tried the road of sin and found its prospects all deceive. I've proved the Lord and joys abound more than I could believe. When our girls were young, we had the opportunity to visit a historic home. Holler Nutt was a very rich man who owned several cotton plantations. Mr. Nutt began the construction of his Longwood Mansion in 1860. He had a dream of the Longwood Mansion being home for himself, his wife, and their eight children. Mr. Nutt hired architect Samuel Sloan of Philadelphia to design the mansion in 1859. It would have been one of the most spectacular houses in Natchez, Mississippi, with 30,000 square feet of living space. The design included 32 rooms, 26 fireplaces, 115 doors, and 96 columns. The Civil War broke out in 1861, however, and when the news of the war reached Natchez in April of that year, the craftsmen that were working on that house heard about the war, and they dropped their tools and returned home to Philadelphia to join the Union forces. Even though Mr. Nutt was a Union sympathizer, he lost his fortune as a result of the war, and he died in 1864 of pneumonia. Now, some claim that he actually died from a broken heart because he lost his dream of a magnificent Longwood mansion rather than from pneumonia. Today, the mansion remains incomplete. Scaffolds are still there. Workmen's tools are still there. And it stands as a monument to a broken dream. A dream of lavish parties. His servants' quarters, I believe, could house 32. The people coming and just being awe-inspired of his wealth and his greatness as a man. His hope was there, see? Those were the things that he was longing for. The fine meals, all of those things that he was hoping for. But it says, when the wicked dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Why is it that the hope of the unjust perisheth? Because their hope is in this world. And I want to ask you tonight, where is your hope? Are you putting your hope in this world? In the things that you can build and accomplish? The dreams and plans, the pleasures of this life? Is that where your hope is? I'm telling you, those things are going away. Lord, help us that we'll put our hope in something far greater than that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away. The mansions pass away. The pleasures, the parties, the fine meals, the bank accounts, the insurance policies pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's where I want my hope, don't you? Where is your hope tonight? The song says, all who make this world their God can hear. No longer stay. Their fondest hopes will all have fled, in that last great day. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Alexander Pope wrote a poem entitled The Essay of Man. And in that poem, he penned these famous words: "Hope springs eternal in the human breast." You know, it's a good thing that we have hope. Because if we didn't have hope, we'd quit, wouldn't we? There's something about hope that just gets us through the difficult times. And the poet says it springs eternal in the human breast. But I want to tell you, if your hope is not founded in Jesus Christ, if it is not on an experience of salvation, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's not going to spring eternal in your breast. There's coming a time that your hope is going to be cut off. Where's your hope tonight? Is it in what this world has to offer you? Is it in the mirages and illusions and the rainbows the devil is painting for you? God help us to put our hope in something eternal. Hope is beautiful. It gives us reason to go on. When people are sick, it gives them hope that someday something is going to be better. They're going to regain their health. When people experience financial losses, someday I'll be able to recover. I'm not always going to stay under this. Hope is beautiful. We were living in Honduras and my wife contracted malaria. She was near death. It seemed like the sky was so dark. But one day I was driving along on the island by myself. And the thought came to me, there will be a brighter day. And thank God there was. That hope helped me so much in that time. We need some hope. We need hope that's founded on something that's eternal. Not on the things that pass away in this world. Don't let Satan paint a beautiful picture of the world to you. Don't let him deceive you into making this world all that your hope is. Yes, we want to enjoy our friends, our family. Yes, we want to enjoy the things the Lord has provided for us. But God help us to put our hope on things that are going to last through that great judgment shock. O thou art my refuge here. All my hopes are built on thee. From all sin and slavish fear, Jesus makes me fully free. So when all my toils are o'er, let me gain that blessed abode, and with loved ones gone before, ever dwell with me, my God. People are placing their hopes in a lot of things today. They're putting their hope in religion. They have their name written on the church book somewhere. And they're hoping that that's going to be good enough to make it in. People even know the correct God to profess. They know that Christ is the Son of God. They believe on Jesus. And they're making a profession and they're placing their hope there. But without an experience of true salvation from sin. People are using the phrase today, putting their trust in Jesus. As if, I know I'm living this kind of life, I know that there's sin in my life, but I'm just trusting in Jesus that somehow when I get to the end, I'm going to be all right. We need a greater hope than that. One time, we went and visited the father of one of the ministers in Honduras. And the father was nearing his end of life. He was not a part of the saints, but we were talking with him about his soul and being ready. And in asking him about being ready, he says, "We can't know until we get there." Folks, we need a better hope than that. We need to be able to say, like the song says, "I know my name is there." I'm thankful we can know that. We can know that we're set free from our sins. We can know that we have an experience of salvation. You can know that tonight. You can have a hope that is secure. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. Wearing a crucifix on your neck is not enough. Having your name in a church book somewhere is not enough. People saying, oh, he's such a good man, is not enough. Saying, Lord, Lord, that is not enough, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, then we can have a hope that is secure. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because the hope of the unjust man perisheth. People place their hope in doing good deeds, donating money. As a teenager, I had a newspaper route, and while I was delivering papers, I met Mr. Moskus. Mr. Moskus had been an orphan. He was of Greek ancestry. And it was amazing how Mr. Moskus had accumulated a fortune in life. He loved wealth, women, and wine. That's where his hope was. Unfortunately, he became very sick. I think he was about 54 years old. Ended up in the hospital, and he died. Mr. Moskus had donated his estate to a church rather than the common law wife that was living with him. I don't know, maybe he had a hope that if I donate all this wealth to the church, somehow, in spite of all my wicked living, I can make it into heaven. We need a better hope than that, don't we? Hope of being good people. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do? See, people have their hope in doing good things, in being good people. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. A lot of people are missing that today. They're putting their hope in something else. If you want to have eternal life, keep God's commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All of these things have I kept from my youth up. See, I've been a good man. But yet he realized he lacked something. His hope wasn't sure, was it? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It's not enough to be a good person. We have to go all the way with the Lord. People are placing their hope in what I call false hope doctrines. There is the hope of a second chance, that somehow the priest is going to be able to pray them out of purgatory. They live a sinful life here in this world, and then while they're down there suffering for their sins, that their hope is that somehow the priest is going to be able to pray me out someday. In the late 80s and early 90s, I had a coworker named Phil. Phil was a religious man. And based on his religious background, I'm pretty confident he believed in purgatory. Phil did not live a holy life, and I'm going to spare you the details. Sometimes I get to thinking about men that I've known decades ago, and I wonder about them, whatever became of that person. And one time I looked up Phil on the internet, and I was saddened to come across his obituary. I hope that when Phil left this world, his hope was in something far more secure than being prayed out of purgatory. That is a false hope doctrine. There is no mention of purgatory in the Bible. There is no second chance. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Some people are putting their hope in repenting after the saints are raptured away. That is a false hope doctrine. There is not going to be a second chance. Sinners are not going to be left behind, suffering some tribulation and finally coming to their senses and being able to come to the Lord. That's a false hope. Let's turn to 2 Peter and read about the way it really will be. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store and reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But listen to how it is actually going to be in the last great day. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. No second opportunity. When the saints are raptured away, the sinners also will go to stand before the judgment seat of God. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, including the Longwood Mansion. It's going to be gone. Including the estates of the richest people you can think of. It will be gone. Including the pleasures that are keeping you away from God tonight, they will be gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Where should your hope be? On that day, I hope it is anchored in Jesus Christ. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth shall melt with fervent heat. The heavens pass away. And all mankind, their doom will meet in that last great day. Are you ready? Where's your hope tonight? Is it in the dreams this world is offering you? Is it in some false doctrine, some false hope that somehow you're going to be able to get ready when you come up to the end of life? People place their hope in false religions, in reincarnation. They teach that when you die, you just come back in another life form. Did you know that religion has made its way here into the United States and is very, growing? Or people are believing that right here in our country. This isn't just the Far East. They believe they will be reincarnated into a different body. Eastern religions that teach reincarnation include Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism, Jainism. I want to tell you a little bit about Jainism's principal beliefs. The way to liberation and bliss, they teach, is to be nonviolent, to speak the truth, to not steal. Anybody have any problems with these? This sounds kind of like Christianity, doesn't it? To be chaste or faithful to the spouse, and to have non-attachment to the world. Sounds like a good person. But it takes more than that. It is only through Christ that we can be saved. See, Christianity teaches these exact same principles, but teaches something deeper. There is a greater requirement for us than simply being a good person. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. No reincarnation. We're not coming back as a lower life form if we've been evil and a higher life form if we've been good. After that, the judgment. Islam is a growing religion, something like 24% of the world population and growing rapidly. A false hope religion. They teach that if your good deeds outweigh the bad, you can make it into heaven. That's not a very sure hope, is it? People placed their hopes in being descendants of Abraham, didn't they? In Jesus' day. We be Abraham's seed. And they had their hope there, and they missed the Messiah when He came and walked in their streets and He brought salvation. They sought to kill Him instead. Their hope was in their lineage. Listen, we can grow up among the saints. We can go to the camp meetings. We can dress like saints. We can act like saints. But unless we have a born-again experience, unless we have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, unless we are compelled by the charity of God, we can miss it. People place their hope in having more time. I'm young. I have time. Do you? Forgive the illustration, but there was a young woman who was divorced from her husband. And she went out and got involved with another man. And she said, "I'm free." As he was choking her, she said, "I'm too young to die." She was not. Where's your hope? Is it in the freedom this world has to offer? Is it at the pleasures of sin? Is that your hope tonight? It's going to disappoint you very, very badly. She had her hope in that she had more time. And it ran out. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and and verse 25. Let me start at 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit visited Felix that time. The Holy Spirit was passing by and convicting Felix of his sins. And he trembled. But he had a hope that he had more time. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You know, that's what people are saying tonight. Go thy way for this time. When it is convenient, I'm hoping that someday I can get right with God. I remember being an unsaved teenager and thank God for the prayers of my father. Being an unsaved teenager, lying on my bed tonight, at night, and God dealing with my soul and praying, "Oh God, please let me get saved before you come again." I thank God that He answered that prayer. One night I was driving to Guthrie, unsaved, by myself in the car. No air conditioning in my car in that day. Window partway down at night, was cool on a summer night, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And as my head went over, my ear caught on the glass, and it woke me up. Mercy of God. See, I had my hope that someday I can be saved. I almost missed it, didn't I? Where is your hope, poor sinner? What are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor, lavished so freely on you. If it is fixed in the Savior, on that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end. What is the hope of a hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. I hope I don't get caught. I hope people don't discover what I'm doing. What hope does a hypocrite have? When God takes away his soul. Christian tonight, where's your hope? Proverbs 10 and 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, thank God. It is going to be overwhelming joy. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that veil. The Christian has a hope that is solid, that will hold through the storms of life, that will hold through the judgment shock, and will keep us through eternity. Where is your hope tonight? The song asks, have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? In the sweet and vernal lands, I'm hoping for that someday. I'm hoping to see the loved ones that have gone before me. I'm hoping to see my Lord and my Savior. the angels of heaven. I'm hoping for a place that is a place where the sorrows that I experience in this life are going to be over. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to tell you, my desire to get there has been getting stronger lately. Do we know if this, our tabernacle, were to be dissolved? We have a house not made with hands. Blessed hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word. And 'twill evermore endure. That is the most solid hope I know of. When it is founded on Father's written word. Tonight, where is your hope? I want to give you an invitation to make that hope sure. Maybe you've been worried about your hope. You know you've been a good person, but you're just not quite sure. Tonight would be a wonderful time to get that hope real sure. If your hope has been in this world and the frivolous things it has to offer you that it's going to disappoint you with, the mirages of this world, the rainbows that you're chasing, tonight's a good time to shift your hope into things eternal. I love the song that says, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. May God bless you tonight.